Gospel of John, chapter 1. If you get your Bible, hold it up and say, got it. Yes. All right. When you get to John chapter 1, say, amen. Amen. We are going to read 5 verses. These are famous verses. Amen. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. We could probably just rest there for a little bit. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Lord, it can be dim around us. Light our path. Light our lives. Come, Lord, let us understand who You are, Lord, and the challenges that we face adapting our lives to Your guidance. Lord, I pray that You would be present with us this morning, that we be transformed in our existence. In Jesus' name, everyone said?
Amen.
Get in your car. How many of you guys got a car? Getting a car is a good thing, amen? Amen? There are bad things that can happen in your car. Amen? One bad thing can be a speeding ticket. Anybody got a speeding ticket lately? How much? How much? Shout out a number. How much it cost? How much it cost? You don't know yet. Oh, my. Oh, my. Leanne got a ticket, and we are waiting for the increase in her insurance. She's going to be carrying that increase on her own. More than, even more challenging than seeing this in your car is seeing this. Amen?
Amen?
I mean, you get that check engine light come on in your car and it indicates a problem. The biggest problem with seeing this little light up in your dashboard is you don't know what the problem is. You ever just kind of live the week and just going, what is my problem? And you just can't figure it out. Well, our cars have they call them idiot lights. So it says, hey, I got a problem. Well, Pastor Scott had a problem this week. Check engine light's been on. And I told him, I got a code reader. And what this thing will do is you can plug this baby into your car right underneath the dash normally and hit some buttons on here, start, scan, and it will give you the code or multiple codes of what is wrong with your car. And then you can know at least what your problem is so you can start getting it fixed. Amen?
Amen.
There is this other neat thing, this other neat attribute of this little tool I have here. Is you can hit a little button and it will erase all the codes. And your check engine light will go away. And you can pretend like you never had a problem at all. For many of us, we have faced problems in our lives. We don't know what they are. And what we really want is a little tool like this and we can hit clear and it will take the check life light and turn it off. And we can pretend like there's no problem at all. Amen? Our problems in our cars will lead to a breakdown. Problems in our lives often cause us to break down. Take a look at finishing. It is hard to finish your race with problems with your car. It's hard to finish your race with problems in your life. The title of today's message is A Good Finish. Get a good finish. The Lord wants us to understand that He is with us. That life is a challenge. And that often his entry into our lives brings change, and that change is a challenge. Many of you, I had those come up here this morning, are in a process of change, going from challenge to challenge to challenge, and life is getting better. Amen?
Amen.
But it is tough. It is tough because it forces you to look at your life, to look in the mirror and to really evaluate what is going on. Jesus said, I have come that you might know the truth and that the truth will set you free. But many of us really just don't want to know about the truth. We would rather have a camouflage. We would just cover it up. We would hit the little button and have the truth go away so that we can continue to live a lie. And we're pretty good at living a lie. Amen? I was. Created great destruction in my life. But I would do whatever I could not to look in a mirror. Not to evaluate where I was and where I was going. And when you don't know where you're going, it is difficult to finish strong. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus comes that we might know the truth. That we might see the issues, that we might see that we have a problem. And many of us just don't want problems. We just want to pretend like they never showed up in the first place. Change is a challenge. Life is a challenge. Sometimes we need help with it. Jesus comes and brings truth and brings help. John writes about that. John is called the gospel of belief. John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31 are the key verses of this entire gospel. If you don't get anything out of the gospel of John, get verses 30 and 31. Jesus did many other miraculous signs, writes John. He goes, there was so much stuff that, man, the whole world be full of the books that were written about him. But these pages that I have written to you are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the Son of God, and that by believing you might have life in his name.
Amen.
See, faith will get you to the finish. And we are going to take a look at today a good finish. Amen?
Amen.
Let's take a look. This whole message is going to be focused on the Word of God today. We're going to take a look at six aspects of the Word. In the beginning was the Word. We're going to take a look initially at the concept of the Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, if you are going to get to the finish line, you need to have an accurate starting point. So many of us kind of jump in the race halfway, come aware of where we're at, and have no clue where we came from or where we are going. Many of us get to that point and we want to make up the start. John says, no. Let me give you a good starting place. Let me give you a good foundation for you to start your race that you might finish well. Amen? Now, he says, you look at this in the Bible that you have, and W is capital. It is capitalized because we take a look at the Greek word here. It means logos. Logos is the Greek word, and he is referencing the Word. We'll take a look in a few moments. The Word became flesh, and the Word, the logos, is our Lord Jesus Christ. God the Son, the Messiah, the messenger, the one who comes to us, the one who comes to show us a firm foundation and to guide us into the finish. Amen? And so many of us, if you don't know that you are even in a race, how many of you even know that, I mean, Tommy was talking about the end and where we're going and the test and the evaluation. I didn't even know I was being looked at. I didn't even know that there was a prize at the end. I'm just trying to get through this week. Can I get a witness on that? So many of us just trying to get through day by day by day. Just get me through to the weekend. So just get me through the weekend. Jesus came to show us the way. He says, in the beginning was the Word. We look back and those words remind us of Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God. In the beginning was Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. And we talk about here this logos, it's a loaded word. The philosophers of the day, they were called Stoics. And this word logos or logos, depending on how you want to say it, it carried a lot of weight. It meant this overwhelming wisdom that comprises the universe. We talk about this technical word. It is the central principle of the universe, this ultimate intelligence. And if I could draw a picture of this for you, and probably the young people will be able to relate to this much more, that all the embodiment and truth of the universe would be comprised in him. Now maybe you're going, wait a minute. Well, okay, here we go. Obi-Wan Kenobi, the Force be with you, right? Now, my son just finished, I think, the spring or the fall semester, and they had a Star Wars marathon. They watched all six movies. I think even at 18, they couldn't watch all six. They had to do them three and three. But the Force, you know, this overarching power that kind of guides and directs everyone's steps. You know what I'm talking about? Familiar with those movies? That is what logos meant to the philosophers of the day. And they were wrong. Just like Obi-Wan was wrong. But it was a place to start. And so the Apostle John, I'll leave it at Obi-Wan. The Apostle John takes that word logos and says, let me tell you about the real principle of the universe. Let me tell you about the truth that comes in the form of our Lord Jesus Christ. All that stuff that you think is attributed to the Force is attributed to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were wrong, but he took where they were headed and redirected them to the finish. Amen? And so often we have an incorrect grasp of the truth. The truth that would set us free, and the Holy Spirit would come and say, look, you're cocked this way, let's go this way. And you will at least get to the finish line. Amen? So the Lord takes what you have and then redirects you and points you into truth. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. That is a concept of who Jesus is. Amen? It's big. All right. The actions of the word. Because our Lord Jesus Christ is more than a concept. I mean, people say, well, to me, God is fill in the blank. You ever heard anybody say that? To me, God is a loving God. To me, God is a kind and compassionate God. To me, and what they do is they create God however they want him to be. Verses 3 through 5 says, through him all things were made. And I ask people when they say, to me, God is, I say, well, was he powerful? Did he make anything? Oh, yeah, he made everything. So, hey, they got a little bit of truth there. Right? He says, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. And that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. And he talks about the Lord being a concept or an understanding of who he is. And then he talks about what he does, right? And it talks about Jesus, talks about the Word being directly involved in creation. Now, we will go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. It says, In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And this is a big bag kind of thing. The word there created is like boom. It's not like you would assemble a bike or you would build a house or you would fix your car or something like that where you are tinkering bolt by bolt by bolt and it's a process, right? It says God created the word, the earth, the universe. It's like boom. It's like the Big Bang. Amazingly, our science backs up the word of the Lord. Amen? He says, as he says this, I want you to see that before creation, God was already there. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word created everything. And so what you have is a picture of God who exists outside of time and then creates the creation in time. And so at the beginning, God's already there. At the end, God's there. And God existing outside of time, he sees everything in between. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. Amen? Does that make sense that he can just kind of look at time? He can look at creation, just see everything. He doesn't predict anything. He just says what's going to happen because he can see it. He says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then John tells us that Jesus, that the Word was life, and that that life was the light of men. And I want you to follow with me here. It's kind of like a test. Tommy gave us a good test. Appreciate that test, Tommy. Especially that trick question on how many disciples there were. I was going, wait a minute. Is there only 10? No, there, yeah. Anyway, okay, let's keep going. You know, because you kind of, Judas, you know, take one off from Judas. Was there somebody else? No, anyway. John says that the Word was the light of men. We go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. It says, God said, let there be light, and there was light. And that was what? Day one. There was morning, there was evening. He does not make the sun and the moon until day four. You're thinking, oh, well, you know, maybe he kind of made a mistake. You know, he didn't really realize that he already made the sun and the moon on day one, so he made them again. See, that light that infused creation, the light of man was the Word. He said, wait a minute, how can there be light without the sun and moon? We go to Revelation chapter 22. He says, there's going to be no sun and moon in the New Jerusalem. Why? Because the glory of God will light the city. And so, over the darkness hovered the Spirit and the glory of God was the light. The Word of God was the light. And the darkness missed it. The darkness did not realize it was even there. Yes, in the NIV, it has understood. Realize is a very good translation of that word. And you see how involved the Word is in our creation. Not just making it, but His glory infusing it. Read Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. He is before all things. Again, we see that preeminence in Christ. And he says, and in him all things hold together. And he is like the glue of the universe. I mean, you get down into subatomic particles and stuff, and they just kind of go, we don't know what holds those things together. And the Bible tells us 2,000 years ago that all things are held together in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is incredible, as involved as our Lord Jesus Christ is in this creation, how we can be so unaware of his presence. There was, we were here Thursday or Friday, and I'm out in the parking lot, and midday can be pretty dead around here, you know, not a lot going on, everybody's in school, work, whatever. And across the street here, young lady kind of bopping. I mean, she's just bopping. And young lady, maybe late teens, early 20s. And I mean, she's got a look going on. She's literally has a mane of blue hair, okay? I mean, I'm saying this is big and blue. And she's just bopping, you know? And I see her walking across the street, and I see her walking towards this car right there, right? And I'm just seeing this, right? Bopping car. And I see on this car that she is headed to a yellow piece of paper on the windshield. Now, you know what I'm talking about, right? And she's bopping. Hair's bouncing, it's blue. I think she got headphones in or ear tunes or something, you know. And I see her and boom, she stops at that car. And everything stops. And she grabs that paper. And there's no more bop. You know, she's kind of like this and she kind of goes. And it's odd to describe, but she begins to jump. You ever heard the phrase, hopping mad? And she's got this thing, and she starts, and it's really, I mean, the blue is now going a whole different thing. I share this with you, why? Because, rewind 30 seconds, she's bopping along, completely unaware, not realizing what is in front of her. And when she hits the realization, everything changed. Change is a challenge. Truth is a challenge. And so often, truth forces us into change. Amen? Got more coming. Good finish requires staying on track. We'll go to verses 6 through 8. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. We're talking about John the Baptist. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness of the light. And we're talking now about a witness of the word. God sent a messenger to prepare the way. John the Baptist was born approximately 6 months before Christ. He was his cousin. He would have been raised up being totally aware of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are people. The Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called the Synoptic Gospels, and they were written between the 40s and the 60s, between 10 and 30 years after Christ's resurrection. John was written later, and there are other challenges that have come along in response to the truth of the gospel. One of them is the Stoics, or that philosophy and that force kind of mentality. The other was people had grabbed onto John the Baptist as being the Messiah. And so John brings correction, and he says, hey, you got the great the correct idea, you just grabbed onto the wrong guy. Now you say, well, wait a minute, I have not heard about that before. Well, if you read Acts chapter 19... Paul goes to Ephesus. John's primary ministry was in what is modern-day Turkey, Asia Minor, back in the day. Okay? And so the Apostle Paul, Acts chapter 19, goes to Ephesus, finds some disciples. They are followers of the Lord. And he begins to talk to them, and he begins to talk about them, about their baptism, and he says, whose baptism do you have? And he says, we have the baptism of John. And Paul says, that's just the baptism of repentance. It is the baptism of preparation. If you're going to make the finish, you can't stop midway. Amen? And so John the Baptist was guiding and directing them towards the Lord Jesus Christ. But they didn't get that far. And so John, again, is grabbing on to the truth that they have and redirecting them towards the accurate truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. As you come in here this morning, where are you at in your race? How much truth do you have? Have you got the check life button on? I mean, is it gleaming at you? And are you looking for a code checker that you can just go, whoa, whoa, that's a little dangerous. Turn that light off. Because we don't want problems. So often the problems mean we need help. And rather than admit the fact that we need help, we'd rather just have the problems go away. I spent a long time in my life trying to get those problems to go away. Maybe you can relate. Maybe you young people are going, problems? I don't even got your problems. I don't know what you're talking about. Well, Josh, your problems are coming in the mail, baby. Yeah. My daughter, she got a ticket 6 months ago, and I talked to the insurance guys. They said, oh, yeah, at the end of the quarter, we'll be notified, and there will be a change in the rate. So it's not just one letter that's coming. Oh, go to traffic school. It will help. Leanne missed traffic school by 2 days. Bummer. The opportunity of the word. Verses 9 through 13. The true light, not a fake one, not a copy. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children not born of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. See, this light, the word that comes, our Lord Jesus Christ that comes, came to give an opportunity. He came to shine light on men. He came to open the avenue to the finish line. And there are those who believe that everybody gets to finish. It doesn't matter how you run. It doesn't matter if you stop halfway and take a nap. Everybody finishes because the Lord guaranteed finish. No. He gave opportunity to finish. There are those who came but did not receive him. He said, John tells us that he came to his own people, those who had spent 1,000 years waiting for him, and they missed him. You might have grown up in church, and you have missed him your whole life. He might be here this morning saying, you're off track. You need some help. I hope your answer is yes, I need some help. Because so many of us, I don't need no help. I'm doing just fine. There's three things we saw already, that the darkness did not realize that the light was there, that the darkness did not recognize, and that the darkness did not receive him. Realize, recognize, and receive. But if you do receive him, it gives you the opportunity to become a child of God. Adopted into the family. If you read this gospel, he struggles with the Jews, but the Samaritans believe. The Gentiles believe. The centurion believes. So many of the non-Jews come running to the light, and the Jews to which he had come reject him over and over and over again. He came to his own, but they received him not. This whole process is not a natural process. It is not accomplished by your will. You are here this morning. It is because the Lord Jesus Christ has called you out of darkness to give you an opportunity to find new life. 25 years ago, the truth hit me. I wasn't going to finish. Track I was on led to abject failure, not too many years in front of me. And I made a surrender of my life to the Lord. I said, Lord, you can have my life. I have ruined it. And right then and there, I felt the Holy Spirit come into my life. I was transformed, and I did not know what to do. It took me a year. It took me a year. I mean, I had been using drugs and alcohol for the previous 15 years of my life. It took me a year how to figure out how to live without having drugs, without having alcohol, without having a crutch, without having one of these. Because what would happen is the check life light would come on, and I'd just grab a little something, Light would go off and I'd be saying, I'm fine. Never really had a problem. Maybe you're used to this reset. Maybe, I don't know what you use to clear your light, but there's a lot of people around here that have stopped clearing the light, that have been guided into a new truth, a real truth. We prayed for our new board members, Roki and Tommy and Adriana not being here, and George. Pastor Carlos joining our team as well. All of these having stopped hitting the reset, owning the truth that is in their life, and come to that point saying, I need some help. Amen? Are you there yet?
Yes.
I hope you are. Many of you are. I'm celebrating with you, girl. I know. Good finish requires staying on track. I hope you're on track. I hope you're staying there. Good finish requires assistance. The Word became flesh, made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The experience of the Word. We've had the concept of the Word, the actions of the Word, the witness of the Word, the opportunity of the Word, and now the experience of the Word. The Word became flesh. God the Son put on skin. That is quite tangible. Very far removed from a concept. To me, God is. Well, when Jesus was walking the earth, there wasn't a whole lot of objectivity going on. You couldn't recreate him because he was standing right there. And you recreate him now at your own peril. Because John says, I have seen him. He is as real as you or I. He is concrete and his truth is as real as that siren going by. Watch out! Danger! He brings truth. Truth many of us don't want to see. We don't want to hear. Go to the beginning of John's first epistle. That which we have heard, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim the word of life. Let me tell you about what I have experienced myself. This is not a story that I heard. This is something I have seen. I am telling you about my personal experience with God the Son. It is hard to knock that down, amen? That is how concrete the word of life is, can be to us today. Those people who stood up here today, the people that have been, that stood behind praying, people that stood up in worship today, they have come to a concrete relationship with the word of life. I hope that your relationship with the word is concrete, is genuine, is real, and you allow him to bring truth into your life. Because when he brings that truth, often correction comes with it. Have you figured that out, Mr. Roki? Mr. Roki, man, he was one who hated to be corrected. 5 years ago, he would be leading Celebrate Recovery, I would have laughed. God does big work. Amen, brother?
Amen,
amen. Amen. Last thing we got is the overflow of the word. John, talking about John the Baptist, John testifies concerning him. He cries out saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. Let me say that 3 times fast. It's tough. There's a lot of Greek in there. I want to focus on this next part. From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. Now, John is not talking about we all, like every human being. He's talking about his community, We all. We all have received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. You know, put a little but in there if you want. But grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. The overflow of the word. I hope you got some. I'm getting some right now. Hallelujah. Bible is describing, John is describing life in the kingdom of God. It is a life of blessings. These blessings come from the overflow of God's grace. And realistically, if you really look at the original structure and everything, it talks about exhausting one grace and another one is ready in place. It is like being on a jungle gym. We have a jungle gym out there, that square one. And you got one rung, and you swing, and there's another one right there. And some people go, woo, woo, you know, they stop. Or you just go, whoo. And that going from one grace to the next grace to the next grace, you can have movement in your life. There is that overflow of the word. There's that overflow of the light of God. There's that overflow of the anointing of God that can happen in your life, that as you're moving and you're rolling and you expel that grace, boom, you know, there's another one waiting. Amen? That's what he talks about, moving from one blessing to another blessing, that they overflow in our lives. Moses came with the truth of God, and it was a pathway of God. The pathway of God that Moses brought was steep. And through time, the Jews discovered you couldn't climb it. In fact, the writer of Hebrews says, but those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sin. Man, I have got a problem. Sin. Every year, coming back. I can't get clean. I can't get free. I can't make any movement in my life. Jesus comes with truth and grace. And he says, you can't get there. But if you ask, I'll take you with me. That's truth. And that's grace. To get to the finish, you need help. To get to the finish, you got to realize there's some problems in the way. Lisa, you want to come up and play? Many of you are owning your problems. You have done away with the quick fix. You have done away with the turn off the check life light. Check life. Some of you guys just messing around, thinking around. Check life, check life, check life. Talked to Tommy this week. He said his chest is still burned. So you know what I'm talking about. Tried to iron his shirt with it on, getting ready for church last week. Healing will come. Takes a while. You got to know you need healing. You got to know you have a problem. And you got to know that assistance is out there in order to ask for it. Jesus brings truth. You can't make it to the finish alone. Jesus brings grace. If you ask me, I'll take you with me. Truth and grace. Would you pray with me? So many of you are on track. Pebbles in the way, stones in the way, challenges in the way, making progress. I celebrate you. I celebrate these new board members. I celebrate the ladies down teaching this morning. I celebrate the men who opened our services and the worship team that sings. And so many of you, some of you have just been grabbed by the Lord and said, wrong direction. Here's the finish over here. And there's a lot in life to let go and to jettison. Some of you are not even racing, not even moving, not even running. Your life is filled with cheap resets, lies, gimmicks, tricks. Anything to keep you from looking at the truth. You can't look at the truth, you'll never make it to the finish. You can't look at the truth, you'll never ask for help. You'll just ask for a gimmick. You're here this morning. The Lord is saying, that is you, child. You are so lost. You are so off kilter. You are so off track. You'll never finish on your own. He says, if you surrender your race, if you surrender your life, I'll put you on track. And if you ask me, I'll take you to the finish with me. That's you this morning. You've rejected the Lord. You have not received Him. You did not even realize He was around. You're like that girl, crestfallen. Oh. Right now you can say, Lord, I've messed up my life. I'll give it to you if you give me a new one. Nobody's looking around right now, but the Lord is just speaking to your heart. He's just speaking right to your heart. You're saying, Lord, I've messed up. My life is destroyed. I'll give it to you. I want to ride with you, Lord. That's you this morning. I just want you to slide your hand up and say, that's me. I need to quit running my own race here and here. You guys can put your hands down. Anybody else? See, that's me. Lord's speaking to your heart right now. Lord, I thank you. I thank you that you rescue us, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you gave me new life, that your Holy Spirit, and I said, Lord, take my life. Your Holy Spirit came in with new life to me. I celebrate the new life that runs through this congregation this morning. New hope, new opportunity, and a new finish. Take us with you, Lord, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Everyone said? Amen. Stand with me if you would. The worship team is going to come. We're going to sing. Perhaps you got some business with the Lord. As we sing and come and pray, I'll pray with you. I have a cold. I'll probably keep my distance. I don't want to get you sick. You can pray for me. 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 You can pray for me.